The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
A couple of comments from the Waco segment. Paul, Galveston is 100 times more messed up than Waco. That could be a fun trip someday. Someone else says, hey, you could check out the Dr. Pepper and Harley-Davidson Museum. Ooh. The Harley-Davidson Museum seems like it would be very interesting given that there was a motorbike shootout in the last decade there. They're going to have, I don't know, any artifacts from that? Anyway, joining us right now on the Paul Gallant Show is my good friend and a person that you used to hear both here in town and on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the one and only Josh Innes. Josh, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Bootsy. What's going on, buddy?
I'm doing okay. We had an interesting talk last night because, of course, we both watched Thursday night football between the Dolphins and the Bengals. And there are some things that we talk about amongst ourselves that we don't always want to share with the rest of the world because perhaps we're scared of being canceled. But what were your thoughts after last night and especially your reaction to the reaction that we saw online last night?
I think what we have here, Bootsy, is that we've got people who see what some people say on Twitter, and then they're afraid to say anything differently, so they just kind of go with it. And before you know it, what we've had here is poor Tua was forced. And basically, here's what the internet did. The internet almost turned Tua into, like, Lance Harbor. And, like, I swear, if that needle goes anywhere near his leg, I will rip off your arms, beat you to death with it. Like, the whole internet essentially just turned Tua into this helpless victim. Because you know why? Because athletes make themselves victims all the time. Oh, it's one of their favorite things to do. We're people, too. We're people, too. The same people that go out and tell you, hey, we're warriors and we got to fight through everything. The second somebody gets hurt, it's, oh, the world doesn't realize that we're people too. And we're just here to entertain people. And I don't know, man. Like, the way people reacted to that last night was fine and to a degree to say, hey, that's pretty gross. Maybe, you know, there's some sort of issue with the team and maybe they hold some sort of responsibility. That's all fair. But last time I checked, Tua is a $1 million athlete that makes a lot of money and he is an adult. And he can make his own damn decisions. And I'm floored by the number of athletes, and bless their hearts, there are a lot of them out there that are just frauds. And they're all over the internet, and they're former players and current players. Man, I think I saw Dante Stallworth, and this is rich being that he killed a guy, but Dante Stallworth said something along the lines of, man, we got to get these athletes, we got to protect them from themselves. So I said, why is it the coach? You're an adult. You know what you feel. You know how your body feels. You know if you're right or not. Tell the coach you can't play. Like, I mean, everybody's got some level of responsibility in this whole thing with Tua. But according to the internet, Tua has no responsibility, and the world is terrible, and football is barbaric, and I think we should reevaluate everything. That's what the internet's saying today, and I think they're all insane.
I think that, to clarify, and this Josh is with me right now, you're talking about, I think for the most part, the athletes that were weighing in on what we saw last night. But there was also a lot of people who were essentially saying, like, at the end of Apocalypse Now, the horror, talking about a football game, which is just another episode of a sport where we see people routinely get the bejesus beaten out of them. I'm going to make a devil's advocate argument here, though, because, Josh, I think that it was Mike McDaniel's fault that he was out there to begin with on Thursday on a short week. I get what you're saying where, hey, it is the responsibility of a player to maybe check themselves out. But at the same time, say you are in Tua Tagovailoa's shoes, you have already been in a weird situation back in 2020 where you have been benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're probably paranoid about the idea of losing your job, especially when Teddy Bridgewater isn't probably that much worse than you. He might be as good as you as your backup. I can understand why someone like Tua would want to stay in, and I do think that ultimately there's one person that, even if he is hearing things from an independent medical staff that's supposedly independent yet getting paid by a team, even if he is hearing that Tua is okay and he wants to hear that Tua is okay, how can you not see what took place on Sunday and say to yourself, you know what, that didn't look right, back injury, head injury, whatever, why not just give him the week off?
Well, why not ask for the week off? And I get your point. Oh, you're afraid of losing your job. Well, you're afraid of losing your job every day. Everybody's afraid of losing their job to somebody else in every walk of life. Maybe not as extreme as in the NFL, but like Tua, and one of the things I've seen people tweeting about is how Tua's been bad-mouthed since he got into the league, and they've tried to take his job from him, and everything's been so difficult for Tua.
He hasn't been that good.
Well, here's the thing. Ball don't lie. I hate to go all, you know, Rockets TV broadcast on you, but you know what? Ball don't lie. And if you go out there and you ball and you put up numbers and you win, you keep your job. If you don't, you don't. If you're that worried about Teddy Bridgewater and that's why you're afraid to say you've got a concussion, then guess what? You're maybe not that good anyway. So, like, I'm guessing that, you know, Drew Brees was never afraid that Chase Daniel was going to take his job if he missed a game, right?
Right.
So be better. Be good. Now, again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm just ripping Tua here, but the way the internet responded, like, this argument that athletes need to have someone looking out for them and that they have to be protected from themselves. Like, I don't buy that. You're an adult man. All of these athletes love to go to the internet and tell you how progressive they are and forward-thinking they are and how this is a new era where we take care of our bodies and load management and we eat right and all this stuff, yet somehow you had a concussion and you're stumbling around like Rocky and Rocky II when he and Apollo fell down, and somehow you don't know your own body enough. Oh, and here's another thing, and we can call this a conspiracy, whatever, but I'm not sure how all these tests work, but I would guess when they perform some sort of test on you, it's kind of like the Billy Bob thing where, hey, man's holding up some fingers, true or false type of thing.
They gave
right?
me a CAT scan.
Yeah, I got my CAT scan, Doc said I'd play. Well, one of those type of things, right? So, like, my guess is, oh, shocker that this could happen, but athletes lie about how they feel so they can play. Wow, what a novel concept that is. So if you want to say that the team did the guy wrong, fine, that's probably true. But to act like Tua is just some poor defenseless child.
I'm with you
on
that.
And they threw him out there to the wolves, and oh my God, how could they do this to this poor guy? He deserves better. We should drill. We're all going to cry. Like, they lose me with that. That's stupid.
And luckily, I didn't see as much of this online as you did. I guess it's because I don't follow that many ex-players who are perhaps going down that rabbit hole. I think it's possible to pin blame on somebody here without acting like the person needs to essentially lose his job. Like with Mike McDaniel, I'm not saying the guy deserves to be fired. I think that's a difficult situation to be in. Remember back in 2017 when Bill O'Brien was the head coach of the Texans? Tom Savage is in a game. Tom Savage gets absolutely smashed in the end zone. No one could have been able to see it from essentially where the coach's box is on the sideline in the 30-yard to 30-yard kind of area of the field by midfield. There's no way he could have seen that Tom Savage essentially had a seizure back in there, and they throw Savage back out there for the next series. Savage probably should have talked to somebody and maybe, I don't know, checked himself out of the game there. A lot of the times, though, these players aren't going to, and when you have a medical staff that, again, it's just hard to buy that they're really independent. Someone, I think, twitched in or texted in earlier that these coaches, and excuse me, these doctors get Super Bowl rings. These guys want to win, too. They're paid to make sure that these players, yes, are healthy, but two, can get out there when necessary and play through injuries. There's one person who I think could step in the way of what seems to be just against conventional wisdom. Tell me all you want about how these doctors said that he was good to go, but I don't get how if you're a head coach, you can see what happened on Sunday and feel like, you know what? He's going to be fine 3 days from now when he plays against a good defending AFC championship team on the road.
Yeah, that sounds all great, and I get it. But ultimately, and I go back to the players' argument, right, is dudes want to play. They want to be warriors. They want to play for their team. They want to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if a guy comes to you and says, hey, I can play, and the doctor says he can play, then what do? Like, you're not a doctor, and you also don't know the guy's body or what's going on in his brain. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know. So, and I'm with you. Like, people sit here and want to blame the coach or blame whoever. Yeah, let me ask you a question. I'll flip it around on you for a second here. And this is something I've felt for a sure. while about the way the NFL media covers the NFL. Like, the NBA media blows the NBA. Like, they talk about it like it's the greatest thing ever. And
this
baseball media is weird. But, like, the NFL media people, while suckling off the teat and getting their salaries paid and having careers because of the NFL, they seem so anxious to destroy the NFL. Why do you think that is? Or do you think that is?
I agree with you. I don't want to sound like a hardo here, being a 5'11", 178-pound man, but I loved football and playing football because it was a violent game and I liked the violence. And I'm not going to deny that. I liked the violence. And it's funny seeing people after a moment like happened with Tua, where everyone feels the need to weigh in on what happened and say, like, man, I didn't like that that happened. And obviously no one likes that happened. No one wants to see somebody having a bleeping seizure after rocking his dome in the midst of a game. But I don't get it myself. Like, that's why I like the sport. I have been a big proponent, Josh, of making defense great again. I don't think quarterbacks should be protected the way that they are. I don't think that quarterbacks should be allowed to slide. I hate it when players run out of bounds. Like, this is the kind of hardo stuff that I like. That's been part of the game for years. You can go back and watch an Inside the NFL, I think, like the intro montage to the show, and they're showing highlights where, like, Jack Tatum's, like, drop-kicking somebody in the face, or some other player's going over the middle of the field and clocking him, and a defensive lineman goes underneath him, and it looks like Brad Pitt trying to cross the street and meet Joe Black, essentially, getting hit by, like, six cars. That's the kind of stuff I like. And it's funny that there's a lot of people that seem to be, like, in denial of it. No one liked to see that moment. You don't have to weigh in every single time and say, oh, this is disgusting. You cover the sport for a living, and I'm with you. Like, the reason everyone loves it is because it's violent. You're going to act like this is a major problem. That's why people watch the sport.
Well, it's a violent sport. Yeah. Like, that people get hurt. Like, and I don't see the same outrage and same energy when, say, Jameis Winston is playing with literally a broken back, right? So the guy's out there and he sucks, but part of the reason he sucks is because he's playing with a broken back and he's trying to play through it. But all I see on the internet is, you know, Jameis Winston sucks, man. This dude's trash. Where's that same energy? Is it because he's, you know, Jameis Winston is playing against
Carolina, he stole crab legs,
a game no one's watching?
And may have molested an Uber driver.
Well, fine, but be that as it may, if I look at the way people cover these things, it's a violent game and people get hurt. It's just the way the game is. And it's like this, right? Like, football players and a lot of these former players that I'm calling frauds are the same people that I see on Twitter, and it's players and media people and fans, that say, you might as well put a skirt on these guys or put flags on them. We don't hit anymore. Then a guy gets hit, and by the way, it wasn't a dirty hit or anything like that. He just got tackled, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bad hit. And all we hear is, you know, well, we got to protect these guys. Well, which one is it, Chief? Now, you can't in one breath go, hey, the game is soft, and then on the other hand go, boy, we got to save these guys from themselves. It doesn't work that way.
Josh Inn is with us, and before I let you go, Josh, the people are asking on Twitch, hey, when's the podcast coming back?
I did a podcast today for the first time in like 2 months. I had like a bit of a meltdown and just decided I didn't want to do it. Because a fun fact about me is I think I actually hate sports.
I saw you tweet about this week.
But like Twitter and everything made me hate sports.
I don't like sports radio anymore.
Well, I certainly hate sports radio. That's a passion.
Well, that's the best.
Because people like you were on it. But let me put it this way. Social media has really impacted my enjoyment of sport in a major way because I think social media now has revealed how many morons are actually out there, like just stupid people that'll argue and make like the type of people who claim that Barry Bonds isn't the rightful home run champ. Morons, right? Just stupid people. Well, people that celebrate not to hijack your show here.
Go ahead.
But people that celebrate Aaron Judge tying Roger Maris's record. Friend, you're like 13 off the pace.
It's the American League record.
I don't really care.
The Yankees did it. That's why it's the big deal. That's the only reason.
Yeah, if he played for Tampa, nobody would care about you tying Roger Maris. And by the way, you want to come to me with the stuff about Barry Bonds cheating? Well, who had a greater advantage, Barry Bonds on steroids or Babe Ruth not playing against blacks and Hispanics?
Great question.
That is a fine question.
It's a great question.
And you can have these kind of discussions on the Josh Inn Show podcast. I dropped one today for the first time in like forever. So just search for the Josh Inn Show.
It's a very woke show based off of that question.
Total. I mean, just the most woke show in history. Yes.
Josh,
and
I love you, man.
And by the way, Bootsy, I can see people following or downloading episodes like in real time right now.
Hell yeah.
Pulled up. So why don't you guys download the podcast and go listen to it and get woke?
I like it. Josh, thanks for coming on. Let's do it again soon.
Where are you going? Why are we done?
Because I got to go to commercial break. This isn't a podcast, jackass.
What, 30 seconds of commercial?
I have no. It's more than that. We have to pay bills, sir. Excuse you.
See you later.
See you, buddy. Bye. That is Josh Innes, everybody. Coming up next, we got our Pick Six segment. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to
alleviate
the effects of the...
Time to put down the books and crack open a college football six-pack.
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
With Paul Gallant.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. We got six games to pick this weekend. It's our Pick Six segment. And since Vanessa has left the show, bless her heart, not in a condescending way, we're very pumped for her moving on to the AT&T Sportsnet broadcast as the Rockets sideline reporter. I was actually talking to her yesterday. She's talking about interviewing Boban, who is the biggest person she's ever seen.
I saw that on Twitter, and she high-fives him at one point, and it's the most insane thing I've ever seen.
He's sitting in a chair, and and Vanessa's tall. Vanessa's 5'8", and you can tell Boban's legs are like the size of her body. It's absolutely insane. He is a likable guy, and honestly, I really want to just interview him about being in John Wick. That's all I want to know about. Like, imagine the choreography that you have to do if you're in that. Anyway, I am going to this game. Let's start off with at 2:30, number 9, Oklahoma State, at number 16, Baylor, with Baylor favored by 2.5. Here's what happened last time around.
Well, Oklahoma State win a conference championship if you score in all likelihood. And perhaps the CFP, Jackson, trying to turn the corner, and he did not get there. Jalen McVay raced him to the pylon and made sure he came up inches short.
So, Baylor had two goal line stands against the Cowboys. And they picked off Oklahoma State quarterback Spencer Sanders four times last year in the game that they hung on to win. I don't like Baylor in this one. I'm going to be there in Waco, and I could be wrong. And you can come talk trash to me if you're a Baylor fan listening right now. But Oklahoma State is a very good pass rush. And I saw this number. Blake Shapen, 70% completion percentage on the year, but just 41% under pressure against that good Cowboy pass rush. And Oklahoma State's averaging 51.5 points a game. I think Baylor's got a good defense, but are you telling me they're going to pick off Spencer Sanders four times in a game that they had to win at with a goal line stand? Like, Oklahoma State moved the ball against Baylor. It was a defensive battle. So I am taking the Oklahoma State Cowboys to cover in Waco tomorrow. Sean Mapes, what say you?
I like Baylor in this one. I think that the defense from Oklahoma State's really taken a step back since losing Jim Knowles, their defensive coordinator, to Ohio State this offseason. And this is really the first big game that Oklahoma State's going to play this year. Their non-conference, kind of premium non-conference game, was against Arizona State, who just fired their coach and whose assistant coaches might have been giving game plan away to opposing coaches. So I think they're untested. I think Baylor at home, they only need to win by a field goal. So give me Baylor.
Okay. All right. So we disagree, as they say on the solid verbal, on this one. 11 o'clock, the game you should be watching if you're a Texans fan and you want to see some other quarterbacks, because we talked about him earlier this week. Will Levis is the quarterback for Kentucky. He's damn good, at least based off of what I've read and from what I saw from him against the Florida Gators. So Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are favored by 7 per BUSR.com/ESPN, the home team against Kentucky. It's weird thinking of Kentucky as a football school now, but I mean, they got a quarterback prospect who might be taken in the first round. They are getting running back Chris Rodriguez back, who ran for 1,400 yards and 9 touchdowns last year. This is a weird story because he got suspended for the first two games of the year for a DUI and careless driving incident in May, and then he got suspended two more games for something else that happened. So he hasn't played one game for Kentucky, and they get him back in this game. I think because they got the quarterback and because they got the running back, I am once again picking the road team, Kentucky, to cover at the very least, if not win, with Ole Miss the 7-point favorites.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss is another team that this is their first real matchup. And I actually think both these teams are kind of a little bit overrated when you see 7-14 next to these teams' names. I would bet that's not where either of these teams finish, but I like the road team in this one. I like Kentucky. Like you said, getting Chris Rodriguez back, this is already a pretty even matchup to me. And then they're also getting better, getting their running back back. So, yeah, give me Kentucky.
Let's shift to the NFL. The Jaguars on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles. Who would have thought this would be a great game? But it's going to be Doug Peterson's return to Philly against the last undefeated team in the NFL. The Eagles are 6.5-point favorites. Nick Sirianni has been trying to motivate the troops. This is corny, right? Here's Nick Sirianni talking about what he's using to get professional football players, adult men, to play their best.
A clip that we showed today was of Tiger Woods and how when he was on the top, and this is what we showed in our team meeting today, when he was at the top of his game and playing as good a golf as anybody's ever played, ever, right, he was still obsessed with getting better. And he says that, I'm obsessed with getting better. I'm obsessed with being, you know, the best. And you know, that's a guy that was playing the best golf of anybody ever. And what a great example for us, right? We can learn so many good things from what not to do and what to do. And today, you know, last week it was a Kobe Bryant film. And
Jesus. You don't need a video to motivate you. I don't understand this from coaches who like go through these obscure methods to get the most out of their players. How about just tell them, hey, play well or you're getting benched. I don't know. It's pretty good motivation. Hey, let's win. Also a nice motivation. We got to watch videos. This is like substitute teacher stuff. So between this and the people that need to go through like a Peloton class or like a ride class, I'm sorry, I don't understand you. Why do you need someone to tell you to do what you are there to do? You don't. Do it. Period.
Do it.
Do it. I don't get it. In this game,
Despite that, I'm
having a hard time buying into Philadelphia because they've only had like a couple of quarters where their offense has done well. Like last week against the Commanders. They scored all their points in the second quarter. 6.5 is a lot. I don't think people realize that Jacksonville's been pretty good to this point. So I say Jacksonville covers on the road. What say you, Sean Mapes?
Well, I'm going with the best high school football coach ever. That's Nick Sirianni.
Oh!
I don't know if he's ever coached high school football, but every time he opens his mouth or he walks into a game wearing a jersey, I'm like, this guy...
He panders so hard.
This guy was made to coach high school football and just be like, guys, this is what it's all about right now. It's homecoming. I'm sure he's going to, like... In 2 weeks, he is going to declare one of these games a homecoming game for the Eagles. So, despite all that, despite me thinking their coach is kind of a clown, he is a pretty good coach. So, give me the Eagles. I think they're for real. And I'm not quite ready to buy into the Jags as, like, a legit contender yet.
This will go a long way.
Yes.
I'm not 100% in on Jalen Hurts. I do respect him, but I'm not... so far as other people are into saying, like, he will be in the MVP candidacy at the end of the year. Yeah. Like, right now, he's definitely up there. That's for sure. You can't deny that. But
there's still 15 more weeks of football.
Yeah. Their defense has been, I think, the most impressive thing. And that's what I thought going into the year, plus an easy schedule that they have. All right. So that's you have the Eagles covering. Two more games. Check that. Three more games to get to. We might need to move some of them to the next segment. These Buffalo Bills are 3-point road favorites against the Baltimore Ravens. By the way, this was part of, while we're talking about weird motivational ploys by coaches, this is what John Harbaugh used to motivate the troops after the victory over New England on Sunday.
There is no better than adversity. Every defeat, every heartbreak, every loss contains its own seed, its own lesson on how to improve your performance next time. That's Malcolm X. We all agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we don't need to get upset. We don't need to get pissed off. We just need to get better, right?
Can't you hear him patting himself on the back for quoting Malcolm X? Like, you can just hear it.
That's why he said that's Malcolm X. Malcolm X.
I want to pick Baltimore here as the home dog. I do. But after hearing that quote, sorry. I got to pick against him. I think Sean McDermott's a better coach. I feel like the Bills are going to be pissed off after the way that they really, I think, shot themselves in the foot so many times. And while they've got a lot of injuries that they are dealing with right now, specifically in the secondary, which Lamar Jackson has been carving up, I think that Josh Allen's going to outgun Jackson in this one. So I'm taking Buffalo to cover on the road by three.
I also like the Bills minus three on this one. Everything you said, just this. I trust the Bills' offense more than the Ravens' offense, and both these defenses, especially in the secondary, are pretty shaky. I think that Allen and Diggs and Davis can victimize the secondary more.
Same. Okay, so we got the Bills covering. Two quick ones before we hit the road. The Los Angeles Chargers, 5-point road favorites against the 0-2-1 Houston Texans. There are many things that should lead you to believe the Texans will cover this. I'm going to do it. Look, conventional wisdom says they will cover, at the very least. There's so many things working against the Chargers right now. I'm an idiot for making this one, but I think that the Texans, 5-point home dogs, I'm taking the Texans to cover.
I am 100% with you, and I feel exactly as bad. This is
dirty.
Hold your nose.
Like, gross.
This feels so bad. They're undefeated against the spread. Everything's lined up for the Texans. I still have zero confidence in this, so I will still pick the Texans despite all that.
Undefeated against the spread, the story of the 2022 Houston Texans season on NFL Films this summer. Sunday Night Football, it's the Chiefs, it's the Bucks, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Tom Brady, it's a pick 'em. Really quickly, I can't go against my Lord and Savior. They should be healthier and have more bodies with them on offense. At the very least, Mike Evans will be back against Kansas City. The Chiefs are a mess right now, and I think that the Bucs defense can frustrate Patrick Mahomes. I think that Tom Brady is Patrick Mahomes' daddy, and I am going to pick the Bucs to win in a rematch of Super Bowl...
2 years ago.
55.
I am the worst with the Super Bowl
the
numerals.
Yes, the
I always go screw 2 you years up. Ago. Yeah. Yeah, give me the Bucs. I think the receiving corps is going to get healthy. Defense, awesome. Give me the Bucs.
Up next, Pep Hamilton, the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, knows the problem with the Houston Texans offense. It's just going to be really depressing when you hear him say it. You'll hear him next right here. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The radioactivity comes from the blinding whiteness, the reflection of UV rays off of my very snowy skin. Some would argue, at least based off of, you know, my own personal history, that I'm one of the biggest snowflakes of all time. I definitely look like one. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's also how you text in. You can tweet me too, at Gallant says, at Sean A. Mapes on Twitter or twitch.tv/ESPN975. On the table for today, I think it's Mike McDaniel's fault, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. The Tua got hurt, even though, yeah, there's a medical staff that's supposed to be taking care of those things. I think that based off of what he saw on Sunday against the Bills, he's the guy that should have stepped in there. He's the one that should have said, you know what, Tua, I know you want to get back out there. We got Teddy Bridgewater. It's a short week. You're sitting on the pine for this one. He's got the most power in that organization. Maybe he doesn't know it at this point in time. Maybe he trusts systems. I think anyone who has lived in a place with lots of systems, if you will, get where I'm going here, you realize that very often these systems will fail you if you rely in them blindly. And I'm not saying that Mike McDaniel needs to be fired for this. I'm just saying that he's the reason that what we saw happen to Tua probably happened. Can I say that with 100% certainty? No. But can Mike McDaniel say with 100% certainty that Tua didn't suffer a concussion on Sunday? Hell no. And he said that. We can play that audio a little bit later, 10:45. We'll continue this conversation. Pep Hamilton is the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. He was asked about some of the things that Davis Mills has been struggling with this year. And Pep brought things back to the offense as a whole.
Kiefer Davis, key for everybody on the offensive unit to understand how important it is that we convert third and one.
Oh, my God. It's important to convert third and one. It's part of a longer answer. But, I mean, you got to tell your players, hey, we can't mess up on third and one. But they've been bad at it this year. You outlined on Monday all of the situations where the Texans have tried to run the ball in an obvious run situation, and they got stuffed completely. It's happened a lot. And then, of course, you go 0-for-4 on third one on Sunday against a Bears team that isn't very good at stopping the run themselves. Now, maybe Sunday's different because last year, the Los Angeles Chargers, who don't have a great run defense, though they have made some additions, no Joey Bosa, on Sunday, who got moved to the IR with a groin injury, Rex Burkhead somehow had an amazing game against the Chargers last year. I remembered watching that with my uncle, my aunt, my cousin down on Tiki Island. We're watching the game and we're like, wait a second, are the Texans going to win this? What is going on? This is crazy. This is not a good Texans team. David Culley's the head coach. I get it. The Chargers are always tough to buy into just based off of the cursed nature of their organization. But what's happening here? So you can feel a little bit of confidence, I guess, if you want, just based off of what happened. I don't feel good about picking the Texans to cover. I feel like they should, but I feel like they're also going to just disappoint, just given all the things that are taking place there. Pep Hamilton versus Davis Mills. I know that was a subject of Texans Twitter. Who's really at fault for the Texans struggles? And honestly, I just don't want to engage it because it's so depressing talking about this team from time to time, especially now that I know I don't have to do it every single segment of every single show. Sean, do you have a thought?
I mean, just the Mills-Pep Hamilton thing, it's like the polar opposite of Belichick and Brady. Like, who gets more credit? It's like the most depressing version of it.
It really is. Pep was asked about what Davis Mills has been progressing with, which is what I asked Lovie Smith. What Davis Mills is progressing with on Monday. Here's what Pep said when asked about Mills' progression.
Yeah, we thought, you know, he went through his progressions fairly well, and as you mentioned, we felt like, you know, our guys up front, you know, they were really good in pass protection on Sunday. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure that Davis was hit more than two or three times in that game. So, and that's with any quarterback, you know, you tend to function a little better in a space where, you know, you're confident that you're not getting touched. So, but nevertheless, you know, yeah, progression reads. He went through his progressions. We were able to get to the second, third progression at times. But still, you know, we have to be even more opportunistic and make more plays in critical situations, and that's what we're looking to do.
Going back to the third and one stuff. So he went through his progressions at times. Doesn't sound like it was consistent, though. And then here's the other thing. The middle of that. Because I think something that's been discussed a lot, and from some people on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, there aren't many left in Mills Mafia. It's been getting clipped. The FBI's come, taking a bunch off, put them in straitjackets and taking them to mental institutions like they met with the Scarecrow.
There's a lot of informants, I think, in the Mills Mafia, come to think of it.
Yeah, my informant, it's my eyes. He's not good. But, you know, some people in denial. What you heard from Pep in the midst of that answer, Sean, is him outlining that the offensive line for the Texans has actually been good. It has. I know you might not want to admit it, but it's been enough. He's had time back there. It wasn't great against the Colts. There's no denying that. But I think that it actually has taken a couple of steps forward over the first couple of weeks, which is, by the way, a great sign going forward for this team. You got to take the baby steps where you can get them. But the offensive line gave him enough time. It did. In a lot of spots. And he still has a deer in the headlights nature to him, although instead of like a deer who just blindly stare at their death coming straight at them as the headlights, you know, dilate their pupils to make them look like they've just done a line. Davis starts tapping his feet. He's got the happy feet. And this ain't Riverdance. You don't want a tap dancer back there. You want a guy who's got balls. You want a guy who can stand in there. And look, I'm not saying it's easy to do that. You think I could handle that? Being under center, standing in the pocket? No. But I don't know. I can run. I'd like Davis Mills to be able to run.
You're a dual threat is what you're saying?
I would be more of a... Listen, on the flag football field, me playing flag football against other flag football players, at the very least, I know I can run. Mills doesn't have that. And if you don't have that and you're more of a traditional pocket quarterback and you're standing in there, like what? What are you going to be able to do? I'm sorry I keep coming back to this. Like I'm just frustrated that there were so many people telling me that, like, in my 10 years of being here, that everything I've seen with Texans quarterbacks, they're basically saying, like, no, this time it's different. Like, why? Nothing ever changes. Everything's the same. This is what it's like to cover this team. This is what it's like to follow this team. 713-780-3776. Rare Candy 86 quoted Tropic Thunder. Who are you calling you people? Well, there is one person on Twitch that does it. I believe he has been of multiple handles over his tenure on the Twitch, because we may or may not have, different strategies for different programs. I am somebody who believes that all voices matter. Even if you do call me gay, I'm fine with you still being able to comment. I'm okay with that. I don't take it personally. I know what I look like right now. In fact, I've also told with you, I've shared with you a couple of times, I've gone to places, and the amount of people who will like actually ask me, hey, Paul, are you gay? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's enough to make me reconsider my wardrobe. I'll say that at the very least on this Hawaiian shirt Friday. 713-780-3776 is how you call it. It's how you text in too. You Twitch people are hilarious to me. You can also tweet me, @GallantSays. I will say it once again. Wait, I'll say it once again. What am I talking about here? Oh, yeah. Okay. Look. They should win, but they're not going to. Does that make sense?
I think you need to be in concussion protocol, by the way.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Because of that, what just happened there?
Did you know I slipped? I wasn't sure if we had a phone ready, a call ready to go, Sean. This was like me sort of trying to filibuster.
No, we don't. It's about something else.
Okay, gotcha. I will say, though, yesterday, I almost had a life alert incident. Not kidding. So, I had, what did I have set up? I cook bacon every single morning. Basically, this is my morning routine.
Wait, is this a Michael Scott
foot injury? No, it's not that. It's okay. Not. I didn't put a George Foreman grill at the base of my bed. No, it's a fire hazard. What I did was, whenever it's the morning, I put some bacon in the oven for 15 minutes, and then I shower, and then, you know, get all primped and ready to go after, you know, I shower. And then once the bacon's ready to go, I have my bacon with like a little turkey burger and apple for a relatively healthy, protein-heavy breakfast. And the Alexa timer went off, and it was playing over this audio that I was playing, like I was listening to a podcast in the shower, and I wanted the Alexa to stop, so I generally abuse my Alexa, and I just go, Alexa, shut up! So I ran out into the hallway to say that so that the Alexa could hear me, and I slipped and fell, like, on the water that was on my feet, because I like these like fake laminated hardwood floors, and I fell hard, like, on my hip and on my elbow. I thought I was going to have like a broken elbow going into work today. So I might be in the concussion protocol. Long way of answering that question. You're welcome for all the details of my morning. I also wear a robe. Nightcap? Not yet. Slippers? Yes. 713-780-3776. We're going to wrap things up on the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You have any final thoughts on Mike McDaniel leaving Tua in there? Let us know about him. I think it's Mike McDaniel's fault. Some audio from McDaniel before we hit the road and a little garbage time. I am stunned that this person, who I don't understand the appeal of, has somehow found a way to date two of the most beautiful women alive. Am I jealous? 100%. You'll find out who that is next, but first I got to tell you about my friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. I am going to Vegas in a couple of weeks. October 23rd, Houston's going to be taking on Vegas. The Wheelhouse and I are going to be hanging out there all weekend. So come on out. Have some fun while we're there. We're going to be watching sports at the largest sports book in Vegas. And seriously, it's massive. There's like stadium seating inside and all sorts of TVs with all of the overs and the unders and whatever you want to bet on. The information's to this side on this giant like ticker. It's really cool. You can also do the exact same thing poolside when it comes to watching these games and, of course, making money. So make sure that you tune in to both my show, The Paul Gallant Show, and The Wheelhouse, because we're sending a lucky winner to Vegas to hang out with us. We will be giving away two tickets to the game with airfare and a stay at Circa on us. If you don't win, that's okay. You can still join us when you book your hotel at Circa Resort and Casino. Use promo code CIRCA975 for a 15% discount. That's CIRCA975. Come hang out with us in Vegas. It's going to be fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Yeah, otherwise we would have reported him having a head injury. I mean, that's why the NFL has these protocols. And there's not, like, every single NFL game that is played. There's an independent specialist that specializes in the specialty of brain matter.
That's Mike McDaniel, asked if he's 100% certain that there wasn't a concussion that took place in Sunday's game between the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. I don't know how anyone can say they would be 100% certain that nothing took place there. And I include people in the medical field there, specifically the team doctors of the Miami Dolphins who come off across like the Miami Sharks from the movie Any Given Sunday with James Woods running that training staff. I think it's on Mike McDaniel. And while I don't necessarily blame him for not pulling Tua Tagovailoa from that game on Sunday, spotters have to see that happen, as Ryan Fitzpatrick laid out on the Amazon postgame show last night. At the same time, maybe at halftime, someone should have told him, hey, did you see Tua getting up? Did you see that moment in time when you're looking at what's the next play going to be? But between Monday and Thursday, and seeing that video, how would you think on a short week that the right move is to leave Tua out there when you have a backup quarterback who's a good player? If you're a head coach, you got to make tough decisions, and you can pass the ball all you want, but I feel like in that situation, he could have stopped Tua from potentially aggravating an injury that I do think was linked to what happened on Sunday.
You know who I don't think is getting, or who the Tua injury is very convenient for
who?
All this? The Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh.
Who look absolutely dreadful.
Dreadful? Yes.
Not dreadful. They continue to disappoint. Because
interesting.
They have not played a good game. I guess they played well against the Jets, but come on, guys. But I did not find their offense very good in any way. I felt like they didn't really get Ja'Marr Chase going. They could not run the ball, but they kept running it. They kicked a 19-yard field goal, which is already like, what are we doing here? I think the Bengals, this is obviously like the, not the A, B, C story, but this is like the Bengals are, I think they're still in trouble.
Interesting. Well, I think Miami's got a good defense. I do.
I do, too.
I think that the game kind of changed from a momentum perspective when Tua went out. And to Bridgewater's credit, like I thought he played decent, you know?
Yeah, he was fine.
He to me, I know you're 2-0. I think they're very similar quarterbacks. That's not necessarily an indictment of Tua. Like I think a lot of teams would like to have Tua. I wonder if the Patriots would like to have Tua right now. Honestly, I know the Texans would love to have Tua right now.
God,
but
imagine if Tua played here.
It would be better. At the very least, I could say I could delude myself because the guy played at Alabama. Like I could lie to myself with Tua a lot better than I could lie to myself with Davis Mills. But here's my defense of the Bengals. They've been sacked a lot as they're trying to get this new offensive line together. And Joe Burrow was only sacked once last night after leading the NFL in sacks. So I'm with you in that it's been a slow progress for the Bengals coming out of the gates, Sean. But at the same time, too, Chiefs offense has struggled out of the gates. The Bucs offense has struggled out of the gates. The Packers offense has struggled out of the gates. And we're talking about three of the best quarterbacks in the game with all of those offenses involved. So I'm with you in that. I expected more out of the Bengals, but they were 0-2, and now they're 2-2.
Yeah, maybe part of it is the Cowboys game that they played. They lost to Cooper Rush. That I'm still just like, come on, guys. You went to the Super Bowl, you lost to Cooper Rush. But also another part of it is in one of my fantasy teams, I drafted Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and thought I reinvented the wheel there. Mm-hmm. But I was like, hey, the Bengals offense, and they stink. They're very disappointing.
I drafted Ja'Marr Chase second overall in my draft, and I'm not feeling great about that one. I'm also not feeling great. I just spilled coffee everywhere.
Is that smooth? I was wondering what just happened.
I see this little drip from my mouth right now.
You're a real professional though. Until now,
I am.
You power through.
Well, no, you have to let everybody know what's going
on. Peek behind the curtain.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Did you spill coffee on yourself? It is time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I'll tell you what's garbage. Did you know that Trevor Noah of The Daily Show, a show that I have never watched, I've seen a couple of clips from it, and I'm like, oh, wow. Another person not from the United States ragging on the United States like John Oliver. That's exactly the kind of show that I want to tune into. A South African weighing in on the United States of America, a country that's never had any problems at all, ever. I've never been a Trevor Noah fan, but I've never watched either, so I'm not going to act like that. I know specifically why. What I will say is, the guy has apparently dated recently not just Minka Kelly of Friday Night Lights fame, and who is just... oh, there's something about her in that show. The character, shut up. Lila Garrity on that show. It's just like, she's beautiful. She's sweet. Talking about the character, okay? He is also apparently now dating Dua Lipa, the pop sensation. So I suppose if we don't like Trevor Noah's content, we do have to give him credit for his recruiting, if you will. He's leaving The Daily Show, by the way, too. Found that out.
Yeah, because he probably is like, I'm dating Dua Lipa. Why do I have to work 9 to 5?
Seriously.
Do a 5-day-a-week show?
You know what? If he just retires from the game altogether, I'm sure he's made a ton of money doing this show.
He can find something to do to whatever, but yeah.
He's a stand-up comedian, too. I will give anyone credit who walks away from a career like right smack in the middle of it.
And a career where, like, all the late night shows where, like, you can just have it until you retire. Like,
yeah.
No one gets fired from these shows.
No one gets fired. That's 100% true. Also in garbage time, Sean, we found out that Bruce Willis's likeness is being now greenlit to be used in movies going forward because he can no longer act. What are the details of this?
Yeah, so Bruce Willis sold his rights. I don't know what rights, but sold his rights to make a deep fake film where basically they can digitally put his face on an actor's face and it looks like Bruce Willis is performing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of how they did Furious 7 after Paul Walker passed away.
Right, but it wasn't great and they didn't like do a lot
of it.
Yeah,
they had to work around it.
Yeah, but they had to work around
it. This is like, apparently he's going to be in the entire movie. There's a, quote, digital twin to the deep fake. Or no, it's called Deep Cake. Is actually the
Deep Cake.
That's not the name of the movie. That's the name of the company.
I'm going to do a leap. All right. That is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776. I don't know why I'm throwing out the phone number, but if you want to call it to the Killer Beast, you could do it at that number. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in on Twitch, on the text line for the first week. And of course, to Sean Mapes behind the glass and to Josh Ennis, who stopped by earlier. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
Uh-oh.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.